Erwin, it's nice to see you again.
Again, indeed.
Welcome to Yachting USA.
Welcome.
Yeah, so we're here in Monaco, and for everybody who doesn't know the backstory, I've known Majesty for over 20 years. I was blessed to be around working my previous company, Nautical Structures, when you joined the company, what, 15, 16 years ago, maybe?
When I joined Gulf
First time, yeah.
2002.
There, do the math.
Yeah.
And yes, we built some projects together. And I remember when you were building a 140 and a 125 to bring to the States. And then I stepped away from my business. And I think 2018, you stepped away from Gulfcraft.
Yes.
What's a little sabbatical, a long vacation?
A long vacation in France. So.
And here we are in 2025, and you're back at the helm.
Yes.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's a cool company.
It's a cool company.
It really is. Whoever thought in the middle of the desert you'd build these boats?
Yeah, so it's striking to talk about a cool company in the middle of the desert, but it has been making waves. Forgive me for that pun as well.
No, it's real, though.
And it's really an honor to be able to come back and continue work and take it to yet another level. So.
Yeah, it is kind of fun. And here we are. We're sitting next to it. We're on your 100 Terrace, right?
That's right.
Which is a 30-meter yacht with a beautiful... What strikes me is we're sitting on the upper, what I'd call the sun deck or, yep, or flybridge deck. It's wide open. This is like perfect for the Bahamas, the Caribbean. Obviously, not bad for the Mediterranean
as well.
Yeah, we'll
have to do with Monaco right now.
Yeah, well, it's better than Bahamas. No, but it's great in Monaco as well. And in the forward deck area, it's got a wide open terrace. And that's really, in a 100-foot boat, you've got a lot of yacht.
Yeah.
There's just a lot going on. I noticed the fold-out bulwarks aft. You got a beautiful passerelle and beautiful aft transom that's outdoor space.
Yeah.
Got the forward outdoor space. This boat's meant for living.
Yeah, I make a lot of tours with people on the boat itself and try to be frontline most of the time and show people around. And nobody comes up and believes it's a 100-footer.
Yeah.
So we've been able to really refine the use of space so that we get a maximum out of it, being able to fit 10 guests, including the owner, as well as 5 crew on it, has been quite magical for most people to see there's still space left for all this indoor-outdoor entertainment and toys. So.
That is a lot on a 30-meter yacht, no question about it. Wow.
And so when you look at 70-80-footers, one of the big concerns that people had is when they grow up in size, they move up in size, that they come into a 100-foot segment, they lose a lot of the privacy on board because they go from a crew of 2-3 people to 5,
right,
and
yep,
suddenly they're never alone.
Right.
And creating that privatized terrace connected to the owner's suite has actually been a key to restore some of that private life on board.
Yeah, you can compartmentalize the forward portion of the boat.
Exactly.
Right. No, that makes perfect sense to me for sure. And like you said, you can carry 10 passengers on this boat. That's a lot.
That's
and 5 crew, which is good to support all of that.
Also charter use, that would be envisaged.
Right. Well, yeah, because these boats, if they are able to be built commercial and flagged commercially, then there's certainly a revenue stream to that. There's,
yes,
monetization of the asset if you can put her in charter. And
correct.
So if this has been built to allow for that, then that's a double win.
Correct.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, my conversations are international. Probably half of my interviews are with people on this side of the pond. But I do like to put the focus on the U.S. market. And when you look at the percentage of U.S. owners that own yachts, it's large.
Yes.
And there's no question, we drive the industry in a lot of metrics by predominantly use and operation and somewhat some infrastructure. What do you guys look at or think about when you're building for vessels that are going to be exported to the States? What do you think is important?
So... First, the U.S. market is an important market for us. It is by far the largest yachting market, especially for a lot of yachts in the world. And that's why we were looking for the right partnership to address that market and to be able to lift also the customer experience in those markets for these boats that are increasingly complex,
yeah,
and better equipped with time. And so when we announced 2-3 weeks ago the exclusive partnership with Denison Yachts, it was with the clients all over the States in mind and what they are expecting from yachting, a 360 degree care in terms of assistance on crewing, maybe even charter, and looking for a berth, the maintenance, the aftermarket, because people are looking to buy or get a holiday and not buying a product. We're just doing one small aspect of it. We build the boat.
Right, right.
And we support the product. but we are not able to cater to all the specific demands the client has in order for him to have a great holiday on the water. So that was one key aspect already, to look for the right partner who's also feeding back to us the specific demands and requirements from that market.
Well, you've got an amazing, partner with Dennis in Yachting. Bobby Dennis and I go way, way back, as do his father and I, and it's a yachting family, a yachting heritage and tradition. And, you know, he's sold the business, but he's still the DNA of the business. And it's his vision, it's his insight, his creativity that has really allowed Dennis and Yachting to scale. And this is a perfect marriage between what you guys are doing and what they do.
And so on top of that, we are vertically integrated, allowing us to semi-customize without all the concerns of a production boat builder. That has allowed us also to sit around the table with our partners like Dennis and Yachting and think about what is the need today of the U.S. customer, if there's single profile, which there is not.
No.
But at the same time, also cater to specific demands and also start to predict what yachting could mean for people tomorrow. And so we're trying to anticipate market trends like the one privatized balcony feature that is on this particular model.
Yeah.
We're trying to anticipate or respond to market needs that haven't been very well formulated, but where we can then innovate as well on both the product, but including the assistance of Dennis and Yachting also in the approach to client. And one of them is that we're now embracing, for instance, sales in cryptocurrency.
Interesting.
Responding to the needs of today.
That's what people are looking at.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I've seemed to notice a trend too of less is more. And what I mean by that is these 100-foot boats are becoming more interesting. They're like we spoke of earlier, there's more features, there's more elements you see in larger yachts, but you're not that far away from those days where you could own or operate the boat. You know, you still want crew, but and I see that trend in the industry happening right now. With Majesty, are you still looking at bigger boats? Are you going to work in this space? Or what's that look like in your future production?
Well, we have a range that starts, and it's all composite what we do, from 35 foot up to 175 foot. So we have a wide range of products. And we're here on only the Superyachts and only the Majesty brand.
Right.
But we have other brands as well, Oryx, Silvercat, Power Catamarans.
Yeah.
We have Nomad Yachts. So we have a lot of different brands as well. But if we focus again on this one, we know that there's two conflicting needs. There is this one is we need more floor space. We need more entertainment space on board. That drives the sizes up.
Oh, yeah.
People want to stay extended period of time on the water, drives the sizes up. So because you need the storage, you need the toys, you need the crew, you need the surface level. And on the other hand, people still want to have their private life on board and want to have access to smaller coves and marinas and secluded areas around the bays. So we're trying to cater to those two different needs. It's not always possible on the same product. But what we see as common trends is where people are buying more and more real estate and less boats, in the sense that they want bigger windows, more light, more convenience, more comfort. There's longer discussions about the stabilization systems than about the engine.
Isn't that something? It's comfort.
It's comfort.
It's how they experience the vessel.
And about separation of crew and guest circulation. Then there is a more and more discussion about durability and ease of use. So while the complexity of the systems on board continues to increase because the level of service and increases, they want more reliability and less maintenance, less care. So how do you combine both? Well, it's where we have to do smarter engineering and work with suppliers to look for solutions that enhance the life on board, the quality of life on board, yet not complicate matters.
Yep. Yeah, sometimes keeping it simple is like the best solution you can actually achieve.
And one of the struggles that many shipyards have, because they're subcontracted to so many different vendors, you don't really get to build one consolidated system. Since we do everything in-house, that means that our electrical engineers who are installing the AC are talking to the ones who are installing the navigation system, who are installing the Domotica, the automation system for the blinds and the lights. And so all of them are sitting in the same room. So if possible, we will try and integrate as much as possible so that you don't end up with four remotes on the table.
No, that's intelligent design.
That's right.
That's absolutely it. That's absolutely it. So I tell you what, Aaron, I'm looking forward to seeing these boats coming across the pond again. And we'll be hanging around the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show. And I believe you've got a boat or two that's going to be in that show. And we look forward to seeing your success in the States. And of course, you're doing it here in Monaco. There's a lot of people looking at this boat right now and this sister ship. Well, it's not a sister ship. It's a little slightly bigger boat next door. So.
Good.
Yeah.
Next appointment in Fort Lauderdale then.
That sounds good to me.
All right.
Thank you so much
for
your time today.
And see you there.
Have a wonderful day.
Bye.
All right. Until next time, I'm out of here.
If your brand belongs in the heart of the yachting world, this is where it happens. Yachting International Radio reaches over 1 million yachting professionals and enthusiasts every month with 77 million impressions, 220,000 social followers, and 74,000 podcast subscribers. Our hosts are insiders, crew, captains, CEOs, trusted voices shaping the industry. This is targeted, high-impact advertising in a luxury niche. Visit yachtinginternationalradio.com/advertise. Your audience is already listening.